Please turn in the back, the Psalter hymnal, page 27. Page 27, the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 21. We'll read question and answers 54 through 56. Page 27. Question 54 asks, What do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? I believe that the Son of God, through His Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for Himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community, I am and always will be a living member. Question 55, what do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that believers one and all as members of this community share in Christ and in all His treasures and gifts. Second, that each member should consider it his duty to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. What do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? I believe that God, because of Christ's atonement, will never hold against me any of my sins, nor my sinful nature, which I need to struggle against all my life. Rather, in His grace, God grants me the righteousness of Christ to free me forever from judgment. Let us take our Bibles and turn in them to 1 John, the first letter, first epistle of John, page 1301, in the Pew Bibles. We'll read the first seven verses. 1 and 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. 1 John 1, beginning at verse 1. Congregation, hear now the word of God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Let us turn over to the book of Revelation, chapter 5, page 1314. We'll read verses 6 through 10. Revelation 5. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. And they shall reign on the earth." As far the reading of the Word of God. Congregation, what a joy it is to witness the public profession of faith, these two young men, as we've done this evening. What a blessing to have more persons incorporated as professing members of the church. Now, these young men were already members of the church, baptized members. But how wonderful to hear them accept the promises God made to them in baptism and declare they do trust and love the Lord, that they own for themselves the covenant, that they desire to become members of the church in full communion, as we call it. So let us remind ourselves what the Scriptures teach, what the Word of God says, the work of God, as it regards the church, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins. I proclaim to you this evening that God sends blessings of heaven into this world through the church. God sends blessings of heaven into this world through the church. First, we consider this church is a spiritual community, a spiritual community. A first aspect of the church we note this evening is that it is a spiritual community. It is a community because it is a group of individuals gathered together, united together. Children, the church is a community like, think of your body. You've got all sorts of different parts of your body, right? Well, they're united together. They form a community of sorts. A body. Well, the church, though, is a spiritual community. The Son of God gathers together this community through His Holy Spirit. And the end of this community is established. Its goal, its destiny is eternal life. And this is life in its fullest. Life, as we considered last time, that's based upon and finds its existence in Christ, who has become a life-giving Spirit. It's a spiritual community. Now, there's a lot here in this Lord's Day, these three questions and answers. There's a lot here in this, and in simply confessing the Holy Catholic Church. Confessing that it's a spiritual community. It means that the blessedness of heaven, of the new heavens and earth, are reserved for this group of persons. It means that even now, the blessedness of heaven is coming into this present evil age, into this fallen world, coming through God's work within the church. As the consistory interviewed those who desired to make public profession of faith, we often talked about their desire to turn away from sin, from that spiritual darkness. We read of that darkness in 1 John, to turn away from that. Their joy of being found in Christ, saved by Him, of why they wanted to become professing members of the church, of this church. Not those of the flesh, not those descended from the first Adam. They are not of the community that endures. Because in the first Adam is only sin and death. Those who are of Adam's community, of the human race as it is in Adam, they are destined to destruction because of their sin against the Most High God. It is in the church. The spiritual work of God. Of God the Son through the work of God the Spirit. This work, this church, it endures. And as we read from Revelation, as God granted the Apostle John a vision into heaven, what did John see in heaven? He saw a number of things, some 24 elders in heaven around the throne. Those 24 elders, it appears from the book of Revelation, they represent the church. And it is they who are in heaven. Each one of the elders had a harp, was holding a golden bowl full of incense, being the prayers of the saints. Those elders represent this community, represent the church. From the mouth of the church comes a song, a new song of praise to the Lamb of God who shed his blood. And with his shed blood, he purchased us. He purchased the church. He purchased from death and destruction, purchased unto grace and glory, to be a kingdom, to be priests, to serve God. A spiritual community. The spiritual community is purchased by God the Son, made into a kingdom and priest through the work of God the Spirit. Here is God's work. We are part of God's goal. God's goal is not the betterment of human society, believer and unbeliever alike. It's not the advancement of rebellious man. It is the church, to the praise of Almighty God. It is they whom God has established as his chosen ones, as his kingdom, his priests. We read just that. It's all of grace. The church is God's plan, his joyous plan. Not the unbelieving world. Ben and Nick, be encouraged. You are in God's plan. You're chosen by God. You're precious. You're exalted. And God sends blessings of heaven into this world through the church. You are part of that church. Now, this is another way of considering what is often called the antithesis. Young people, maybe you've heard that word, the antithesis. Well, it's what we call the separation God has made between his children and the children of the devil. You're one or the other. A child of God or a child of the devil. The antithesis is the separation between the two, and even gets at the hostility, disagreement between the two. The church is the expression of the antithesis. It is the community that results from God's making that separation. That's how we need to understand the church. The true church is not an institution made by man. It's not a social group like other social groups in this fallen world. It's not a political party. The church, as God works, it's a community chosen, gathered, protected, preserved out of the entire human race. From the beginning of the world to the very end, chosen for eternal life, united in true faith, as the Catechism brings out. Here in the church is the clearest expression, the visible product of the coming of the kingdom of heaven. He has made you to be kingdom, to be priests. It's the work of God. And the devices of man cannot thwart it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now some, it seems they think of church as simply an obligation, a duty, something they have to do. Those who think that way have a worldly idea of the church and need to repent of that. The church is not a building, but also it's not even an activity. It's not even a bare duty. It's a community. Now, children, when your parents tell you to get in the car, get in the truck or the van to go to church, don't think then it's time to go to a building. And don't think it's only time just to do an activity on Sunday. Understand it as a time to join with others whom God the Son, through the work of the Spirit, is gathering, protecting, preserving for himself, a community chosen for eternal life, united in true faith. Now, much of the world thinks of the church as it thinks of religion in general. It's something that man does. In the past hundreds of years, our society, you can see, it's lost the understanding of God's work in salvation, God's work in the church. Instead of thought of salvation, they may not call it that, but salvation as man's philosophy, man's coping, the church as man's doing. As sinful man exalts his own will, his own piety, the acceptance of the Holy Spirit's work in salvation has decreased, and that's affected then what man thinks of the church, the Holy Spirit in the church. Now remember where we're at here, Christian faith, the Apostles' Creed. The summary of the Christian faith, it's separated into three parts. If brought this out before. God the Father in our creation, God the Son in our deliverance, God the Spirit in our sanctification. Well, this part that we're in now, confessions about the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, they occur within the confession of belief in the Holy Spirit. What we confess about the church and forgiveness is within those articles of faith concerned with the Holy Spirit's work of sanctification. They don't come under the Father's work of creation or even the Son's work of deliverance, but the Spirit's work. And therefore, in the broader church culture, as persons have fallen away from a right understanding of the Holy Spirit's work in salvation, that salvation is of the Lord, not the free will of man, they've also fallen away from a right understanding of the Holy Spirit's work in the church. They're tied together. The error that exalts man over God in salvation exalts it in every area then, even in the church. But the church is a spiritual community God is building. It's God's work. It's not something that I, from my own free will or my resources as an individual or as a family, that I can do it on my own. That can work just as well. No. It's God's work. It's a spiritual community God is building. Much grander than what your unbelieving neighbor thinks church is, thinks what you do or go to on Sunday morning and evening, what they are. It's much grander than what so many churchgoers think. It is a spiritual community. Once we understand this confession of the Holy Catholic Church, then we can do what the articles of the Christian faith do. We can move on to understand the confession of the communion of saints. And that's our second point. Communion of saints, it's a spiritual communion. A spiritual community, a spiritual communion. At the heart of the work of this community is the work of God in Christ. It is, after all, the Son of God who gathers this community. We read of that in Revelation. He does this as head of His community, the head of His body, the church. And so the heart of the communion of the saints, as the Catechism brings out, two parts. First, it's our communion with Christ, the head of the church. It is He who supplies the righteousness we need. It is Jesus who shed His blood to pay for our sins. It's the Lord who was raised on the third day, raised from the dead, the firstborn from the dead. Our only comfort in life and in death is that we belong body and soul to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we read from 1 John, the apostle began that epistle by drawing our attention to Jesus, to that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, looked upon, and have touched with our hands, the word of life, to Jesus. And then from verse 3, the apostle tells us, they proclaim this one so that we also would have fellowship with them. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Fellowship, that's another word for communion. Communion, the saints. The gospel of Jesus, His life, His death, His resurrection, what He did, reconciling sinners to God, is proclaimed so that others would come into this communion, this fellowship with Jesus. Through the proclamation of the gospel, God works faith within our hearts. And through faith, the Holy Spirit unites us to Jesus. He causes us to fellowship, to commune with Jesus. And here's the heart of the communion of the saints, that believers one and all share in Christ and in all His treasures, all His gifts. Trust Him. For believer, God forgives your sins for Jesus' sake. You're right with God. That's the heart of our communion of saints, union and communion with Christ, the head of the church. And by union with Him, we share in all His treasures, all His gifts. God sends blessings of heaven into this world through His church. This church is a communion of saints with Christ Himself. Now notice also here what we confess about this communion. is that believers belong, one and all. The Catechism rightly puts it, as members of this community. Now, individuals are saved, but it's not as solitary individuals that we are saved. Each person who is saved, each believer in Jesus, is united to Jesus and to his body, to this community, this church. And salvation is not found outside it. And we need to be clear here, congregation. What does John say here? He brings out about the fellowship. The church is the body of Christ. This community is that which is chosen unto eternal life. Those who are outside the community of the body, they have no share in eternal life. That's one reason why excommunication from the church is so severe, such a weighty matter. That word, even excommunication, you can hear in that the root communion. Excommunication is when someone is cut off from the communion of the saints. It shows they are not joined to Christ, the head of the church. There is no salvation for someone who has no communion with Christ, no communion with his body, the church. We need Christ's treasures and gifts because we have nothing good in ourselves. We need the church, for Christ is present. Look at the connection he himself brings up here in 1 John. Also why it's severe when someone willingly is absent from worship service, when someone willingly chooses not to attend a gathering of the church, of the community. They remove themselves from that communion of saints. And whether it's absenting from evening worship consistently or purposely avoiding worship services or purposely scheduling travel or work or other activities so one cannot attend worship, that's breaking the communion of saints. It's that severe. It's not just a scheduling issue. It's not just a, well, I do that other times issue. Now, is this sort of breaking communion the same as excommunication? No. But the person who willingly, willfully is absent from the gathering together of the church is breaking that communion. Now, the communion of the saints is not simply joining together for the service of worship. That's certainly included, but it's more communion ought to run through our worshiping together. You can come with your body, but if your soul isn't knit with others, that's just a show. That's just hypocrisy. It's sin that needs to be repented of. And such a one then is not partaking of the communion of the saints. One that willingly absents themselves is not living out this part of what we confess. And we find the root of this sin in each one of us. It's something that each of us must constantly be repenting of. What does being a Christian mean? Well, it means all these articles of the Christian faith summarized in the Apostles' Creed, each one, not simply one or two, but all of them. All of them including, I believe, the communion of saints. Of course, there are providential factors which hinder us at times from attendance, sickness, weakness of the flesh. We have members who cannot come for legitimate reasons, but the root question is, where's your desire? Is there that fellowship, that communion? We confess, we believe the communion of saints. It is in this communion that we are to use our gifts to build up the other members. To build up, not tear down. And each believer has gifts, each one. It doesn't matter if your gifts are in the open or not in the open. As someone else's, you have gifts. God gave you these gifts. And as you live in the communion of saints, you have opportunity to share in these gifts. We ought to use our gifts readily and cheerfully for the service and enrichment of other members. Nick and Ben, as you've now joined as communicant members, seek to use the gifts God's given you. to use them to build up others. He's given you gifts. Look for ways to be of use, to serve. Talk to the deacons, talk to the elders. If you aren't sure how you can be of service, use your gifts for God's glory in the building up of others, young and old. Now, children, think if it's your sister's birthday, your brother's birthday. Let's say your parents bought a gift for your sibling. They wrapped it, and they let you guard it until the time when your family gathers together to celebrate. Well, what if they've given you that gift, and you stay in your bedroom? What would happen to the gift that your parents bought and wrapped and entrusted to your care to give to your brother, sister? You see the problem. If you would stay in your room with that gift, well, you would miss out on the celebration. You would miss out on the cake and the ice cream or whatever. And you wouldn't be able to give that gift to your sibling. They would miss out. The gift that your parents entrusted you to give to him, to give to her. Well, it's like that in the church. Christ purchased with his precious blood spiritual gifts for us. And he entrusts to you, to me, these gifts. He entrusts them to our care so that we would share it with others to help them. And the communion of saints is how and when Christ intends us to share these gifts with each other. So, brothers and sisters, do not break the communion of saints. When you do, you suffer, and the congregation suffers. You know, breaking this communion of saints, part of the suffering that results is that we don't have the joy of living as a Christian then. The joy of living as God has made us to live. We move, as this ties in our third point, the joy of living in forgiveness, living in the joy of the spiritual condition, the forgiveness of sins. Now, in a couple weeks, we, Lord willing, will celebrate the Lord's Supper. And Ben and Nick, you are now welcome to join us at the table of the Lord in this celebration. The Lord's Supper testifies that we have forgiveness of our sins in Christ alone. And it also serves to proclaim our unity with each other. It brings out this communion. Now, if we live in sin, we forsake the communion of the saints. When we forsake the communion of the saints, we lose the joy of the forgiveness of our sins. And since this body is not only a spiritual community, but also a spiritual communion, one cannot biblically confess, "I believe in the forgiveness of sins," if they're also not sharing in the spiritual communion. They're linked. They're tied together. You know, perhaps as we were going through this, you wonder, how is the Holy Catholic Church communion of saints? I see how those tie together. But how does that relate to the forgiveness of sins? They're closely linked. While, again, it is the sins of each individual believer that are forgiven, that forgiveness does not occur outside the church body, outside the body of Christ. No one can cut himself off from the church. No one can deny the articles of the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, and still honestly and rightly confess he believes in the forgiveness of sins. It can't be done. Again, look at what we read from 1 John, verse 6 and following. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Did you hear how the apostle, inspired by the Holy Spirit, connected our fellowship, connected our communion with each other to forgiveness? Again, let me read it again. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we saw that in our Revelation reading. The song of praise to the Lamb talked about his redeeming us to be a kingdom and priests. They're linked there, forgiveness and the church here, communion and forgiveness. The articles of the Christian faith contained, summarized in the Apostles' Creed, they follow right after Scripture. I believe the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins. Because the church is a spiritual community that has a spiritual communion, believing members of this community are assured of the spiritual condition of forgiveness. Of course, it's not the church that brings to pass forgiveness. It's God and God alone because of Christ's sacrifice on the cross alone. And this forgiveness comes to us through faith alone, but only those who are in the church, those who have this communion, only they are those who are forgiven. As one ancient church father said, he who would have God for his father must have the church for his mother. Again, we see it right here in 1 John. He states it clearly. The church is not, though, a community of the perfect. It's a community of those whom God declares perfect because of Christ, forgives their sins, even though we sin. It's a community of those whom the Holy Spirit is renewing toward perfection because of Christ. It's a community of those who strive to encourage each other and build each other up to that goal of perfection, even while we bear one another's burdens, bearing patiently with each other, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave us. God sends blessings of heaven into this world through the church, and we need these blessings. Now, the world needs the blessings too, but it's only through the church that God sends these blessings in the church, in the sphere of the church. And therefore, brothers and sisters, be encouraged that even though many around us could care less about the church, even though many around us have forsaken the church, even though many around us might try to make their own families a rival church, by God's grace, you're in the right place, doing the right activity, but even more, a member of the right community. Remain in it. Not just this particular congregation, but the faithful congregation, a faithful church. Join yourselves to its communion. In it, experience the joy of the forgiveness of your sins. Young people, as you look for a marriage partner, high on that list, what church are they a member of? What kind of member are they? What do they think of the church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins? The church in this world is by no means perfect. But by the work of God, it is a spiritual community, is the spiritual communion in which true believers find a spiritual condition of forgiveness. So by God's grace, let us commit ourselves to faithful, earnest membership in the church, turning our back on the ways and thinking of the flesh, to live as a member of the body of Christ. May God receive all the praise. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for making the church, for having your Son gather, preserve, defend, protect us. We confess we are unworthy in ourselves. It is of your grace, your mercy. But thank you. Thank you for bringing us into your body, body of Christ. Thank you, O Christ, for shedding your blood for us, for sending your Spirit. Thank you, O Spirit, for causing us to be joined to Christ through true faith, to commune with him and all his gifts. And Lord, we confess that here in the church we are sinners. And there is friction at times, and persons that we disagree with or perhaps say something or do something sinful. Lord, would you work to give us grace to forgive, grace to humble ourselves and confess, apologize, ask for forgiveness. Grace, O Lord, to be more closely united. Thank you for the bonds of fellowship. Thank you for the joy we experience of this communion of saints. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. You are so good to us. Please strengthen our faith that we would live as faithful, humble, repenting, forgiven and forgiving members. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.